are listening to the Project Prospect podcast. How goes it, Lincoln?
Goes it well. And if Antonio Gates doesn't score like 5 touchdowns in the fourth quarter of the Monday night game, it will go very well for me this weekend.
I didn't even know the football season started.
I might be breaking protocol by talking about a non-baseball sport, but for the bulk of the podcast, I think we'll confine our conversation.
And let's start that right now. I'm just kidding. We are here today, tonight, or whatever time you're listening to this podcast. We're switching gears a little bit for, I mentioned this before in the Mike Trout podcast, but in the past, Lincoln, we've done a lot of very lengthy podcasts, and I thought it would be good this offseason to really take our knowledge of some of the top prospects in the game and isolate it to one show. So if people today are interested in finding out about Jeremy Hellickson, you have come to the right place. Would you agree with that, Lincoln?
I would. And as sad as it is for me personally to think that people don't like to sit and listen for 2.5 hours while we talk about everything under the sun, I think us tackling one specific player in a manageable amount of time is a good idea.
Okay, so first off, for those of you who follow our work and saw our top 100 prospect list entering 2010, you may be aware that we were vocally lower on Hellickson than I'd say the industry consensus. Would you agree with that, Lincoln?
I would say that we hate Jeremy Hellickson in person.
But what many people may not know is back in 2007, when very few people were talking about Jeremy Hellickson, he was on our top 100 prospects list, coming in at 85. And in 2009, Keith Law of ESPN and Project Prospect were the only people, major rankers in the industry. If you're a minor ranker, I'd love to look at your top 100 prospects list. But of the list that I've looked at for, I guess, years now, Keith Law's ESPN list and ours were the only ones that had Jeremy Hellickson. We had him 44th. And then on our 2010 list, he dropped a little bit. And we'll get into that later because, Lincoln, I think most people will agree that watching Jeremy Hellickson pitch, he's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. I mean, and we had him, you know, in the top, what, 0.5% of all minor leaguers or something. I mean, for us to have him, you know, 30, 40, 50 spots lower on the top 100 list doesn't mean that we think he's not going to amount to anything. Just that we have some concerns that I think we'll touch on a little bit later. But it's very, very easy to see why so many people would like him. I mean, he's been, for the last year and a half or 2 years, probably the single most productive pitcher in all the minor leagues.
And that's because he has an awesome changeup. He has I'm not hesitant at all, Lincoln. I know the term gets tossed around a lot to call it a plus pitch. It's a plus changeup, and he's not afraid to use it all at all. He has excellent command of a four-seam fastball that doesn't move a lot, but his changeup fastball combo is enough to, clearly, as he showed in the big leagues, get through big league lineups more than one time and be pretty successful as he goes through it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he, despite the big jump up in talent between AAA and the majors, in a small sample size, at least, he hasn't missed a beat.
No, and I think he's someone who could go on and do it in a bigger sample size, really. I think he showed in 170-plus AAA innings now that he has the arsenal to be an above-average big league pitcher. His changeup, I can't emphasize, you have to watch some video of it if you haven't yet, or go back and watch one of his starts. Get ready to watch one of his starts in 2011 because he should be in the big leagues again, barring what we're going to talk about in the second half of this podcast. But really, the changeup's awesome. It's a late diving pitch that comes in typically, I want to say, about 77 to 80 miles an hour. Hitters can know it's coming, and he'll still throw it. He'll still throw it for a strike. I think that's one of the other really impressive things that I've seen from Hellickson, Lincoln, that not only does he have good stuff, but he's not afraid to challenge hitters with it. he's always attacking the strike zone, and it's fun to see a guy like that.
Absolutely, and if you can't find video of Hellickson's changeup, all you have to do is YouTube the Looney Tunes where Bugs Bunny's pitching. I think Bugs Bunny's changeup is very similar to Hellickson's. He threw it once and got three swings and misses on it in one pitch. It's very economical.
Yeah, so really, as far as big league ready pitching prospects go, if you're looking for fantasy purposes or whatever purposes for someone who's a prospect, doesn't have a lot of experience, who could make an impact in the big leagues in short order, there aren't many choices in the minors who are better than Hellickson right now in terms of upside and big league readiness.
Absolutely. He's by far one of the most polished young hurlers in the game. I mean, his minor league production, like we said, is second to none. His command, I mean, he attacks hitters with a game plan, and with the execution that you'd see from a 15-year vet.
I'm adding this up in my head right now, but it looks like Hellickson over the last 2 years has walked less than 80 batters.
Wow.
And the year before that, in 2008, he walked 20 batters over 152 innings. So it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, that's nearly Cliff Lee-esque control number right there.
It is. So now let's bring this podcast to a screeching halt and explain why Jeremy Hellickson probably isn't going to enter 2011 as our number one pitching prospect, number two pitching prospect, number three pitching prospect, number four, number five, or I'll go as far as number six. I think we've amounted a lengthy list of concerns about this untouchable, likely to be top five overall prospect by a lot of publications entering 2011. Mm-hmm. What's your hesitation, Lincoln?
Well, you brought it up earlier about how good and how sure a bet Hellickson is in the short term. My reservation, and I think our reservations, are about his health in the long term, and those come from two specific places. One, there are red flags in his mechanics, and two, and more importantly, he has a documented medical history. He's had arm problems in the past, and if you go back in history, you look at any of the big publications, you look at Baseball America's top 100 prospect list, 9 times out of 10, if they have a pitcher ranked high and he didn't turn out to be, you know, the world beater that he was proclaimed to be, almost always the reason is because of injuries. These things happen. It's one of the regrettable parts of the game. Hellickson has a history and perhaps a future that causes us to, as much of the upside as there is, we have to weigh that against the potential downside.
And I think the important part there is, even if people listening to this aren't witch doctors like Lincoln who have muscle tissue experiments going on in jars behind their laptops, with Hellickson, and I think if you talk to a lot of people in baseball, the biggest precursor to an injury history is an injury history. And when you have a guy like Hellickson who has been injured, who does things mechanically that lead to some pause, and more importantly for a starting pitcher, hasn't proved durable enough to handle a starting pitcher's workload, I think there's room to be a little hesitant. And Lincoln, I'm anticipating a lot of people being a lot more gung-ho with Hellickson than we are, because they're going to give him a pass and say, oh, he's still building up arm strength. But when you look at him last year, he threw 114 regular season innings. That was because he had shoulder injuries. In high school, he had a shoulder injury. I believe he missed time in 2008, too, because of a shoulder injury. And he's never topped 160 innings in a regular season. I believe he turns 24 at the beginning of next season. So he's not old by any means, but I don't see him being a guy who could throw 200 innings and back-to-back-to-back seasons. Like you said, he's big league ready. He's someone who could come and make an impact right away. So obviously he has a lot of value. One thing that's really grown on me this season is just the amount of value even a relief pitcher can have in a short period of time. And in the past, I've been hesitant to really give relief pitchers much credit because I see a starting pitcher as someone who can shoulder so many more innings and amass so much more value. But Hellickson could come up and throw 200 innings in the big leagues and have a more successful career than 95% of the pitching prospects in the minors right now. So he certainly is someone with a lot of value.
Yeah, absolutely. The debate with Hellickson is kind of shadows the debate that we had at the same time last year with Strasburg, where we tried to weigh the concerns that we had about his mechanics with his obvious talent and upside. And we come to the position where, I mean, his arm's healthy now. He's able to pitch a baseball now, and he's able to do it very well. So he'll get some innings. And, I mean, we ranked Strasburg fourth overall heading into the season, and some people thought that that was heresy. Then after he got hurt and has since undergone Tommy John surgery, there were people saying that we had him ranked too high. If we thought he was going to get hurt, you know, we should have ranked him lower, which made me laugh. But, yeah, I mean, he'll pitch, obviously, for some length of time. We don't know how long it'll be. We think that there will be times when he's going to go on the DL. It's happened in the past. Past his prologue, it's likely to happen again. But, yeah, I mean, we can't knock him completely off a list or anything because there is that present value.
And then maybe building a little bit on your point about Strasburg and our hesitation with him, even though we saw him as a above-average risk to get injured. In Strasburg's case, we were doing a little more of the witch doctor stuff in that we were looking at his mechanics and saying we thought they would lead to injury, even though knowledge of an injury history wasn't available. It's later come out that Strasburg did have injury problems in college. However, they weren't significant enough that anyone really noticed. They didn't get the spotlight shined on him. I think he kind of kept him to himself, which every amateur athlete has every right to do. And they weren't major, clearly, because he was able to take the mound enough, and I don't think many people question him for it. However, with Hellickson, we can't emphasize this enough. We do have a guy where maybe he hasn't had surgery on his arm yet, but he has had problems that have led the Diamondbacks or the Rays. Why did I say Diamondbacks anyway? That have led the Rays. At least I didn't say Devil Rays. Maybe that's what I was thinking. To put him on the disabled list and keep a close watch on his innings. So, I mean, thinking about it right now, Lincoln, I have more confidence in Hellickson now than I did this time last season, because last season he was coming off just throwing 113 innings. Mm-hmm. Now at least he's gotten back up close to 150 again. Who knows, with the rest of September, he could pitch a little bit longer than that. But I see him more as a guy who fits in the top 50 prospect range than the top 10 prospect range. How about you?
Yeah, I think that works. Obviously, he's had a tremendous season at every level, and you can't knock anything that he's done this year, but it doesn't erase the concerns of the past. It doesn't erase the mechanical risks that we see. Yeah, I mean, it's that difficult balancing act that we try and do, and that always upsets people, no matter how we do it.
I think the other thing we haven't touched on yet with Hellickson, too, is that he's not exactly a ground ball pitcher. He's been a guy who gives up a lot more fly balls than ground balls, and he's done that ever since he reached Double A, really. This year in Triple A is a 37% ground ball rate, and the studies I've done with ground ball rates, and other people have done similar work, if it's not something you've looked at much in the past, typically fly balls turn into extra base hits more than ground balls do. So a guy who's letting hitters elevate the ball, which in Hellickson's case, I'd imagine that comes with more regularity with his fastball than his changeup, that hitters can wait on the fastball. It doesn't have a lot of movement, and he does command it very well. And while his changeup does have some late drop to it, I don't think he complements it with a fastball that guys are driving into the ground. And while he didn't only give up, he's given up 8 home runs this year. He gave up 8 home runs last year, 15 the year before. So he hasn't been a guy who's gotten taken deep regularly. But I wonder if when he's exposed to big league hitters for a more extended period of time, if they're going to start hitting the ball out of the park off him at a much higher rate than he's ever had in the minors. And that's going to ding his value a little bit, I think, too.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're letting big league hitters hit the ball in the air off you, some of them are going to go for home runs. That's just the way it goes. And we talked about, you know, how great his command is and how aggressive he is, the very low walk totals. A lot of that is that he is not afraid to challenge hitters with a four-seam fastball in the zone. I mean, he's going to be around the strike zone. He's going to be putting the ball in a position where good big league hitters can get a hold of it. And you'll see him, you know, have a few games where he'll give up 3 or 4 taters in a game, and maybe he'll get unlucky some year and give up 35 one year, and everyone will think the sky's falling. or the reverse could happen, and he could have an extended streak where everyone's just missing on him. But that's the problem with guys who are around the zone a lot and with their fastball. Either A, don't have a lot of movement, or B, don't have the plus-plus velocity to induce a lot of swings and misses. Because when Helixson throws his fastball, it's going to get hit.
Yeah, I'll have you know that my puppy is so disgruntled with your words, Lincoln, that not only is she barking at me, but she's now pulling on my sweatshirt sleeve, so I'm wondering if it's time to wrap this one up, and I'm going to have to deal with her in a Jeremy Helixson-like fashion. She's biting me!
Okay, well, before Foster gets mauled to death by his own puppy, I think that's a good ending point.
All right, well, we'll be back again soon to touch on more prospects. I think this will be a good having to get into this offseason, Lincoln, really hammering down our thoughts, so when people are getting ready for the 2011 baseball season, they'll have dozens of podcasts to download on their favorite prospects.
That sounds like a plan to me. Hopefully, everyone out there likes them and tells their friends and keeps downloading them and listening to them over and over again, the soothing sounds of our voices.
Yes, yes. Join the thousands of people who have. Really, really, it's kind of surprising. Every time we go and look at our podcast statistics, I'm serious, Lincoln. We've had some of them gotten like 4,000 or 5,000 downloads. So if you think you're at the start of an underground prospect revolution, you sort of are, but join the masses. It's happening. Speechless, eh?
I am. I have absolutely nothing to say to that. I'm going to blindly follow and join the Project Prospect Army.
All right, well, we hope there are lots of people out there who are going to continue to blindly follow as we prepare ourselves for another great prospect offseason. Arizona Fall League coming up, and until next time, I'm Adam Foster, along with Lincoln Hamilton, and you have just listened to the Project Prospect Podcast. Bam.